Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Everybody, welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 92.
Woo!
Yay!
Woo! And we got a ton of people to introduce here today. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, we have some normal people. I mean, you are. I am the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan.
I am Andrew, the hard man with harder opinions.
And also with us, we have King Baby Duck Evan of the Wicked Boston Anime Bastard Brigade. and
it's bound to happen one day.
And who are those voices I hear cheering? That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We have Wicked fan slash kind of news correspondent Gerardo King Bowser.
Hello.
Wow, we long time Wicked fan
and one of our hunters on.
That's right. Yeah, comes monster hunting with us, and we do a great job. And we have Kay from Manga Gamer.
Hello.
Yay. Oh, see, this is our proof that, like, with you here, that we do actually have some sort of affiliation with Manga Gamer.
They're not lying.
Yeah, we can say it on our show as much as we want.
And we can sling your business cards around saying we know these guys.
When we actually have a voice on the show, it helps so much.
Yeah, it does.
Yes. By the way, I still feel very guilty for not writing a review for Free Friends because I still can't. I can't get past some of the things in that game.
Yeah, I should introduce you to the editor. Oh, he's so cool.
Was he traumatized by it too?
No, he actually loved it. We call him Cucumber Man. Like, he loved it so much. He actually bought a cucumber specifically so he could imitate the noises they make in that game. So
what?
I can't see this right now, but my face is in that same little whore that, like, Simon Pegg is in and Otfuzz when he's watching Romeo and Juliet.
So wait a second.
That what?
Oh, yeah, he's really proud of that cucumber, and then he ate it. So
so do the cucumbers talk in Free Friends? That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we're totally talking about
this
cucumbers.
This is not
right
VeggieTales, dude. This is not VeggieTales.
What do they say? What do the cucumbers say in Free Friends?
I don't know. You'll have to ask him.
Oh, well, I'm not. I don't know.
They say some.
Don't eat me!
Wait, where are you sticking me? I don't know if I like this.
You're talking about the
freezer, I kinda
right?
like
it's
this.
It's dark and scary in here.
No.
This still sounds like the fridge.
No, it's vinegar because it turned to pickles. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, God. There is more than one way to pickle a cucumber? What?
Wow.
Yeah. So why is everybody here? Why do we have these extra voices on today's podcast?
Well, you see, me and you suck at traveling across the country, right?
Yeah,
and
totally.
A couple weeks ago, as of this recording, was one of the biggest anime conventions, Anime Expo.
Yeah.
And two out of these five people were there, and I think it's Kay and Gerardo.
Maybe.
Evan, did you go?
Probably.
No, but I am going to attempt to do it next year.
Yes, so are we, actually. I think
good.
We are.
Yeah. All right.
Really? I want to take that leap. There's no promises, but I want to take that leap. And if anything, we can live with Gerardo when we go there.
If I got my new job.
Sure.
Yeah. If I get my new job that I'm looking to get, I'll be able to go.
Oh boy.
I will. Yeah.
All right.
We're already making plans.
So, I think that in order to get to that content, we got to do some stuff that everybody's expecting us to do.
Yeah.
So let's ring the news bell.
News.
Okay.
Bing bong.
So, first up, in media news, I gotta say this, Crunchyroll has won the fight, you guys. They announced a couple weeks ago that they're gonna start dubbing and releasing Blu-ray and DVD cuts of anime.
Yeah. This is huge.
This is massive.
Like, I already watch an assload of Crunchyroll every day of my life already, and now all the stuff that they have, they can license.
Well,
like officially licensed for release.
Yeah, and they already, like, sprung a few titles on us that I'm pretty freaking excited for.
Yeah, one being Berserk.
Yeah, so, okay, so we have Berserk, Food
Myriad
Wars,
Colors,
right?
Phantom War.
Was Food? No.
Food Wars is somebody else.
Okay, Myriad Colors.
Yeah, Myriad Colors.
Yeah, Phantom World, and Cabanery of the Iron Fortress.
Yeah, those are amazing starts.
Here's the thing about, but I thought Iron Fortress was an Amazon show.
See, Iron Fortress was kind of elusive of everywhere. It, like, I couldn't find where to find it other than, you know, sites, magical anime trees, as they call
them.
And so I would pick that fruit, and I would watch Cabanery of the Iron Fortress, and I would love it, because it was, every single episode was the quality of
a movie,
like a Ghibli film, or Steam Boy, or something that was made in Japan for theaters, and it was impressive, the story was cool, the character designs were insanely cool. It was a lot of fun. I loved Cabanery of the Iron Fortress. So the fact that Crunchyroll is slated to sell this on DVD, I am excited. If not for just the quality of the show and how high quality it was, like watching a movie every single episode, I mean, it's studio wit. It's cool. It's fun. Yeah.
But here's another thing back to the Crunchyroll aspect of it is, the next thing that they have that I don't think they've said is how much they're going to cost, because after dubbing and releasing, like, Sentai does a good job on their pricing because they only sub, they don't dub. Now, Crunchyroll, they're planning on doing dubs, and who else does dubs? Funimation, their prices are fair, but also people who scare
Aniplex.
Me, like Aniplex. Yeah. Which, they're releasing Erased, $115 for six episodes.
Jesus
which
Christ.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
that, literally, Aniplex of America, that's an evil move. Like, that is not... And
very
that,
evil.
But, granted,
well, are you talking about, like, a dubbing company, like, actually going in and dubbing it? Because there's also Bang Zoom. Bang Zoom is an actual dubbing company. So, yeah Crunchyroll could go to them. Aniplex is just the producer.
Right. So they're a distributor, too, though.
They are a distributor, but, like, Aniplex wouldn't be the sole company possibly releasing it, either.
Right. But they still need to pay for the cost of the release based on what kind of work goes into the production.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Sorry, I thought there was some mess up there. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry. Ignore me.
No, it's cool. No, so like kind of the same way that, you know, Funimation releases this stuff and Crunchyroll is now releasing this stuff, and pricing's pretty fair. Where Aniplex of America is pretty infamous for their high prices. It kind of probably contributes to the fact that they don't have a streaming service, you know,
possibly
because Crunchyroll has streaming, Funimation has streaming, Viz has streaming. They use Hulu and stuff like deals.
And people,
Neon Alley.
Yeah, and people pay for those streams, which can
contributes to the sale prices of DVDs. Now, Aniplex of America, like, I had to wait for Christmas sales to just buy anime DVDs I wanted from them at a normal price.
Yeah.
So it's kind of upsetting because Erased was the best anime, probably one of the best anime shows I will see all year this year.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even beyond that.
Yeah, and it's very expensive.
Yeah, and so you're going to spend a total of $230 to get the entire, which, by the way, the dub cast is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, just utterly astounding. But I can't buy it. Like, I can't afford that. I know I can't afford it. And it's unfortunate because it's, like, one of the best animes I've ever seen. But anyways, Andrew, your contribution to this conversation was a really good point as to DVD prices being lower because Crunchyroll already streams and they get the streaming money and ads and everything like that. So maybe they will have fairer prices.
Who knows?
I'm looking forward to it. I think that's great because Crunchyroll has some of the best content to put out there.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So next up in media news, this is from Wicked Fan Mike. He sent us the trailer for the Sword Art Online movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, you didn't watch it? Okay, I watched the trailer. In Japanese still. But it was really interesting because I think that this movie takes place in between when they wake up from Sword Art Online and going into...
Sword Art Online 2.
Going into the series Sword Art Online 2. Or rather, even the fairy arc. There's this thing in the show where they're, like, walking around the streets, and then they put on these little, like, Bluetooth headsets,
and the world around them turns into a fantasy world.
Oh, kind of like
AR. So it's
AR.
Like AR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Augmented reality games.
Yeah. And so I was wondering, like, do they really want to, I want to know when this happens in the timeline exactly, because if it happens directly after Sword Art Online 1, it's like, you're still recovering from Sword Art Online. Are you sure you want to jump right into another game that leaves you in real life? Like,
Was Asuka in it? I mean, yeah. Asuka? Is that right? I forget the name.
Asuna.
Thank you. Yeah. Because if she's in it, then it's not before the fairy arc because she's in a coma.
That's a good point. Yeah. So I guess I don't know when it falls in. But even still, we have this next arc, which I wonder where it takes place in the light novels, and
if it takes place during the light novels,
and if this movie is in chronology with the original light novels for one thing, and also.
It could also be non-canon as well.
Yes,
that is very true, because usually in movies, and that's one of my points too, is this whole movie going to be an entire light novel if it is in one of the light novels?
Yeah, because the anime producers make non-canonical movies all the time.
So that is all I have for that one. The movie looks exciting if they release it here. I mean, obviously, they'll probably release it here. Maybe Crunchyroll will even get it. Who knows? My next news story is actually a really interesting insight to the industry, and Andrew, you're going to be really excited about this because it has to do with Lin Okamoto.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. And it's a little artist tip that he revealed in an article recently. I think it was released by Anime News Network.
For those of you who don't know who Lin Okamoto is, he's the creator of Elfen Lied.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, Elfen Lied's my favorite anime.
Literally everybody knows that.
I know.
Because you don't miss an episode where you say that.
I don't know. Gerardo, do you know that? Gerardo, what's my
favorite? I have no idea. I'm sorry.
Gerardo, what's my favorite anime?
I don't know. I can't tell you.
It's Monster Hunter. It's Thundercats. yeah. So, anyways.
What kind of fan are you, Gerardo?
there's a little secret. So there's a little secret to Lin's artwork that allows his books and his manga and his anime to be timeless.
Okay.
What technique could that possibly be?
All of his characters cry really heavily.
No, that gives you wrinkles. So like none of the characters have wrinkles on them, therefore they're ageless. So no, it actually has to do with the time period that it's in. He writes stories that don't necessarily have a timeline. Like, yeah, they're modern, but you don't know exactly during what modern time it is. And it's because in his artwork, he has literally never drawn a cell phone.
Really?
Ever.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah. He has literally never drawn a cell phone, never shown it on screen ever. And that's because cell phones are the most technologically advancing thing that we have nowadays. Even back when they first came onto the scene, mm-hmm. they were flip phones, which are really popular in Japan, and some people still have them. But now we're moving on to smartphones, and who knows what we're going to move on to next. We're going to move on to the iPhone from Futurama. and so
it's a Plumbus.
So that's like a really interesting animation technique where he takes out technology. And now that I even think about it, do they ever even show TVs in living rooms and stuff like that?
No, I really don't know. I don't know if he ever shows technology. See, whenever he draws something, it's always in something that's familiar to everybody. So something will take place in a forest. So you have no technology around. It'll take place in some high-tech island facility so that you're just like, I don't know where that is. I can't locate that on the map, you know?
Yep.
And then, or it takes place, you know, in a suburban area, and there's always suburbs.
Nice.
Yeah, so he kind of flips it around. Yeah, nobody uses cell phones now that I think about it. Yeah. There's guns and stuff, but... Yeah.
Well, hey, that's a little writing technique for all you aspiring storytellers and artists out there. Next up, that is the end of media news. I want to move on to some gaming news. And before we talk about the most important thing that has happened in the history of the entire world, which is Pokemon Go,
yeah.
I want to spotlight a game that I found out from developer SEEC. Has anybody seen their newest game that has come out? So SEEC is a development company that releases visual novels for cell phones.
Oh.
So, like, you'll have those short mascot games on cell phones and everything like that. Romance dating games. Well, they've come out with a new romance and dating game. And usually, in romance and dating games, the girl falls in love with the guy at the end. Right? The user. Which is you.
What? Okay, this is going a weird direction.
Yeah. So you have... In this visual novel, you have three characters to choose from.
Okay.
And the game is called I Hate You.
Oh.
Now, the premise of the game is that all three of the girls will literally, no matter what you do, will never ever love you. As a matter of fact, they hate you. And there are three characters to pick from this game. The three characters are as followed. The girl who thinks you are an idiot. The one who thinks that you can't do anything right. The one who thinks that you really have no intelligence whatsoever. And what are you, stupid?
Baka.
Second, the second character is the girl who just likes to verbally assault you. The one who demeans you, who makes you less of a person, and the one who just wants to torture you, make your life
I want to know the third one, Jonathan.
The third one is the shy girl who wants you to leave her alone because she thinks you're creepy.
Aww.
So every time you talk to her, it's literally like you're stalking her.
Somebody gets off on this.
Okay, wait. Time out. First and foremost, wasn't this in an episode of Outlaw Star? Like, wasn't Gene Starr, when playing a game, like a visual novel, where he's like, I love you, I need you, and the girl was just, like, punching him in the face?
I don't remember that at all.
I swear it was an episode of Outlaw Star. And second, how sadomasochistic do you have to be to enjoy a game like this?
I actually want to try it.
Yeah, I kind of want to try it, too.
Well, it's on the App Store for iOS and Android.
I want to go after that girl that thinks I'm an idiot.
I will post it in the description, the article that I found, because there is a link to download it.
In Japanese, though, right?
Yeah, it will be in Japanese. So
you'll just be able to understand, like, the bakas.
Yeah, so reviewers of this game hate it, but the fans love it. And they find it because they find it so realistic and enjoyable to real life relationships that they usually have, which is sad. The game has a warning at the beginning of it saying, like, this is a really hard hitting game. The girls are literally not going to like you. And if you're very sensitive or emotionally unstable in any way, shape, or form, you should not play this game.
This computer game will hurt your
feelings. It says that at the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
Stop hurting my feelings.
Anyways, link in the description.
Okay.
So in layman's terms, please don't kill yourself because your 2D waifu doesn't love you back.
So, yeah, there's plenty of other waifus that will like you out there.
Yeah.
So this is a good segue because we're talking about visual novels. Hey, Caitlin.
Hey. What's up?
You were at Anime Expo and some announcements happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to talk about the announcements on our show?
because
one of them is like, what?
Well, okay, which one?
well, okay, so the magical girl one isn't, it's a magical girl one, right? That one's not as exciting. I think you know what
well,
I'm
no,
talking
about. There's really not any magical girl ones that.
Oh, well, like, whatever.
Oh, wow, thanks.
I read through them and I must have been mistaken. No, there's one that I'm pretty sure I think you know I'm talking about.
And are you talking about Naked Butlers?
No, I'm talking about Maggot Bates.
Maggot Bates. Oh my gosh.
But yeah,
what?
Naked Butlers was there, right? Is that an Otome game or a Yaoi game?
It's a BL.
Okay, it's a BL. Okay.
Yep.
I was wondering about that. But no, Maggot Bait was one of them that I saw, and I was like, ha, what?
I saw some screenshots from that.
Yeah, I did too. Tell me about these games. Tell us about your announcements.
Well, it's fucked up. I mean, that's the best way you could describe it. In fact, the artist, Shigeo Hamashimo, is actually at AX with us. And during her panel, she was just like, you know, we actually had to cut content in Euphoria during development because it was so extreme. And, you know, Euphoria is well known from people who watch the HOVA for being pretty intense anyway.
Yes.
So, you know, in the visual novels, you know, pretty graphic as well. So they were like, well, let's just put all that stuff that we had to take out in Euphoria and just stick it in Maggot Bates. And that's
oh
what they
gosh,
did.
Oh my gosh, are you serious? Really?
Yeah. They went really extreme with that. I have not had a chance to play it myself. I have seen plenty of screen caps. And I want to play it because I'm curious, and the opening is crazy badass.
So, there was one thing that I did with it. I went to the website to also check it out, because I was checking out your announcements that you did from AX. And one of the things you can do pretty much for every visual novels is the voice samples, right?
Right.
You go to the website, you check out the voice samples of all the girls.
Right.
Well, most of the girls have five voice samples. There's two talking ones,
like a making out one or a
arrow scene.
Yeah, or an arrow scene. Well, the fourth one is like an intense arrow scene, but the fifth one is like when they're getting like one of their limbs cut off or something like that. and it's them making like these grotesque like like sounds. I was like, what? Oh. This is crazy.
I'm looking at one picture right now with this one girl getting her eye gouged out with, it looks like her tit has been cut off.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Yeah, it's Iroguro. It's a very specific fetish, and I may or may not have it. And just saying. And
I don't judge.
No, I said may not, so it's like a 50-50% chance it's up to the viewers to, or up to the listeners to decide whether or not I do have it or not. It's like a fan fiction. It's really fun. And I saw that, and I was just like, oh, I have to try this. Like, really? Okay, so Andrew and I
It is very tentacly, too.
Yeah, Andrew and I are very completely opposite spectrums when it comes to visual novels. I won't even buy Euphoria. Like, I couldn't...
I might.
I couldn't even try it. Would, like... couldn't get even past the screenshots.
I bought it and I got the creator to sign it.
Yes. Oh, you did? You were there?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You two may or may not have even.
Yeah, Gerardo, did you go to the Manga Gamer booth or to the Manga Gamer panel at any time you were there?
I might have passed by the booth, but it's not something I really stopped at.
Oh. Darn! I was there and everything. Oh
When we go next time, Gerardo, we'll introduce you to Kate.
Kate, what was your favorite announcement from the show?
Oh my gosh!
It was Naked Butlers, wasn't it?
I was really happy about Naked Butlers. In fact, my boyfriend and I were playing the opening for like at least 2 weeks before the announcement because it's just so damn addicting. It's just so much fun, and well, I was listening to it on the airplane and. Oh, it's so good. But I actually really think I'm excited for Fashioning Little Miss Lonesome. It's the otome game. It's the adult otome game.
Oh, and, I didn't know there was an adult otome
game. Yeah, basically, the staff member who was actually on the panel described it as, think of the main girl as a less disgusting version of Tomoko from Watamote. And so you get her. And, like, the first decision point that you have is whether you get out of bed or not. And if you don't, like, your life ends with you being alone with, like, cats or something. I believe that's how she described it.
This game sounds awesome!
I know, and I'm so excited for it. And she was telling me about this scene where, like, they do shrooms together, and, like, I'm so excited for this game.
So here's the thing. What is this world of visual novels?
This is the first instance of an adult otome game that I've ever heard. Now, usually in visual novels that are for the male audiences, you never see the dude's face, and it's usually like a POV thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. For otome games, is it switched the opposite?
This is actually my first time playing, or even being exposed to an 18-plus otome. I played like games like Amnesia and, you know, that are all ages stuff, and you actually do see the men, and everything's from the female perspective. Like, you occasionally get, you know, a shot of the girl and the guy, and they're both together, like, making lovey-dovey eyes, or, you know, in Amnesia's case, locked in a cage, looking at this dude and, you know, petrified, but, so, it gets, have you never read Amnesia?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's something. Oh, it's something, all right. But, so this is sort of an oddity where you get both the male and you get to see everything.
Yeah,
and I love the fact that the protagonist is actually voiced, the female protagonist in this otome game, whereas most of them aren't. I've never really seen an otome game that's ever done that. I know Amnesia didn't do it.
This sounds great.
Yeah.
What is this called? Little Miss Fashion?
Fashioning Little Miss Lonesome.
Okay.
Fashioning Little Miss Lonesome.
And you can find that on Manga Games'
website.
It's on
our announcements page.
Announcements page. Cool.
And, right. And Naked Butlers, I'm so pumped. And our boss, when he was up on the panel, he was just like, I just felt my butt clench during the opening.
Well, gotta say that last time we went to your panels, or 2 years ago rather, is when you did your first BL thing, which was No Thank You.
Right.
And it's funny that you were mentioning that it was a it has a really catchy opening because No Thank You was the same way. It's like, wow, this actually has really good presentation because the opening is so good.
No Thank You looked like so much fun.
It's funny you mentioned that because our boss, Manga Gamer's boss, is actually the performer for that song.
What?
That's Bamboo. He's like, are you familiar with Baka and Test? He sings that opening as well.
Wow, my world's getting flipped upside down.
Wow, that's crazy.
And he owns Overdrive, which is I'm working on Bo-Katan, so
yep,
which is an Overdrive title.
Oh, by the way, you can tell him that Overdrive is my favorite.
Yeah, I told him to.
Okay.
Yeah. I told him that in person. It was like, I love Overdrive so much. You know, I'm so freaking nervous because this is the first time I met him. And he's like, oh, thank you very much. And his accent is so adorable. He tried to speak English, but he failed.
Speaking of awesome accents, I also retweeted on our Wicked Anime Twitter, Studio Trigger, a vine of the guy going justice over the megaphone, which is great. Okay, so from visual novels,
yes, thank you very much, Caitlin, for sharing what Manga Gamer had to announce.
You're welcome.
So from visual novels, let's talk about the thing that has saved the world, and that is Pokemon Go.
Yeah. I don't know if it's saved the world as much as it's destroying it as well.
Well, it's keeping it in decent balance, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's bringing people together.
Yeah. Car accidents and injuries and people running across the street, which I happened last night.
Also, I mean, even our first night trying it, we were out to Victoria's birthday, and we went to Dave & Buster's. And you know how in typical restaurant fashion, you're only supposed to have one waiter or waitress?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we had four because we were all playing Pokemon Go and we were connecting with all the waiters and waitresses around us because they were also playing Pokemon Go and they were all trying to figure it out. Victoria and James have been playing it for 12 or so hours already.
Yeah, all day long for her birthday. That's what they did.
They have a Butterfree living in their apartment and I want it.
Yes.
That is awesome.
We usually record there, but because Victoria's not on this episode, she's working today. We couldn't go over to their apartment. I couldn't catch the Butterfree.
I got a lot of Pokemon today, too.
Well, the thing is, Pokemon spawn randomly, so it doesn't matter where you are. It also determines what level you are. The higher level you are, the rarer Pokemon you'll get.
Yes.
Don't shatter my dreams, Gerardo.
And see, last night we, I went out in like a huge group. There was probably about six or seven of us, and we were just wandering the streets looking for Pokemon. We walked through a cemetery at night looking for ghost Pokemon. We found a Ghastly. I didn't catch it. It was too far away. Unfortunately, it was like on the other side of a fence in the cemetery. Yeah, and I was so pissed. Yeah, I wanted that Ghastly so bad, and I also had to go to the bathroom really bad. So,
peeing in a graveyard is not a good idea.
And I think that's how
you get cursed.
We did go down to one of the ponds that we have here. We have a really big pond. It's a landmark of the area that we live in. And there's a Pokemon gym there. And so we ran into somebody else who was playing Pokemon and he was standing at the gym. And he was fighting at the gym. And so we had a good conversation with him and whatever. And then we started walking back and I found a Staryu, a Psyduck, Krabby, Poliwag. Like, it was awesome. Like it was just so cool. Yeah. And I ran into an apartment complex because there was a Zubat in there, but I already had a Zubat from a little, like, I think work or something. No, I don't know. I forget where I caught the Zubat, but I caught another one.
You're way ahead of me, by the way. I am currently still only on my starter Pokemon. Like, I have not had time. I need to wait for my data to roll over and next Thursday. So I got to wait. And then I'll be catching Pokemon all over the place.
Life is rough, huh?
First world problems. That is like that is the biggest first world problem I have ever spoken in my entire life right there, I think. Anybody have any good Pokemon catching stories?
My friends and I were out yesterday, and we were wandering around town. And all of a sudden, we walk up, and there's this like old mansion thingy that people can go in and do tours of. And there was this ambulance sitting outside. And we were really confused because all of a sudden we just hear this Pokemon music just blaring. And we're like, where is this coming from? Well, it turns out it's coming from the ambulance. Okay. And we go up to the ambulance and these two dudes poke their head out and they're like, hey, are you guys playing Pokemon Go? It's the freaking EMTs.
What? That's awesome.
So they were doing the gym that was inside the house.
Did they let you, like, oh, can we join your crew? And then, like, they just let you jump into the back of the ambulance?
No, they were not. They asked us what teams we were on, and we told them. And one of our friends is on the yellow team. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. But we're all Mystic, which is the blue team. So they were all, like, ragging on him and telling him how much of a POS he was for being on the yellow team. And then they drove away.
Yeah. And then they said, I would want to see them turn their lights on and drive somewhere else to go get more Pokemon. We're all over here in our town.
In our town, almost everybody from our town is red. Like, it's crazy. This entire town has chosen red as their color. We have the red line T-stop, and that's a gym, which we can see from our house. So I can defend the gym from my bedroom.
Oh, that's nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
So, like, every time I turn on my Pokemon Go, I can see the gym from my house. And and James from the Wicked Anime Podcast, he was the leader at that gym for a while. I don't know if he still is, but they conquered that gym.
Yeah, they went to the train station for, like, an hour.
Yeah. which is crazy because parking is insane.
The only thing I could say is there are so many damn Weedles around Flax Pond. So.
Yeah, we have Rattatas here.
Yeah.
Same.
It's all Weedles.
It's time for some strange news.
Woo, strange news.
So, hey, would any of you guys be interested in volunteering for the 2020 Olympics?
In Japan?
Maybe. What is the catch?
What are you leading to? Yeah.
I have the qualifications right here. Do you want me to read them to you?
Oh my god, yes, I remember this.
So, first off, you need to, number one, possess communication skills. Good?
Okay, so you can talk.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. If we are all on this podcast, I imagine that we have at least subpar communication skills. So, good. Check. Number one. Number two, a little bit tougher. Speak a foreign language. So, obviously, it's in Japan. Yeah. But also, you know, it's for other countries as well, like the entirety of the world. So being able to speak other languages, that's a very fair thing to be a volunteer. By the way, this is all volunteer work and, you know, it's for free, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
qu'est-ce que c'est de parler français?
Okay, so you can work for France and you can do some great French dubs for their cartoons.
Uncover animation, here I come!
Yeah, there you go. So next up on the qualifications list, work over 8-hour days for free.
Okay.
Are we still on board? Yeah.
Well, I mean, we weren't on board from the beginning, but yeah. It was because it requires travel to Japan. But
yeah, it requires travel to Japan, work in another thing. You have to work 10 8-hour days at least for free.
Like in a row?
Yes, in a row.
Okay.
The whole...
That's understandable. I get that. Like, you have to kind of do that.
So. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Have knowledge of the events or experience watching them live. So you have had to have at least been to one other Olympics event in your entire life.
Hmm. Okay. Well, it says or watching them live.
Yeah, would that count if, like, I've seen them on TV every year?
Yeah, because I am familiar with the events. So, yeah. Okay.
I guess I'm going to the girls' female volleyball part of the whole Olympics.
Darn, what a shame.
Oh, yeah, that really hurt your feelings.
Be over 18 years old in 2020. And then go through... 3 stages of training and an interview.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, lastly, pay for own transportation and accommodations.
Okay.
Nope.
So,
those
are all the qualifications to becoming a volunteer for the 2020 Olympics.
It sounds very expensive. Like, the worst working vacation ever.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. It sounds like you're going to spend up to $10,000 just to be a volunteer.
Now... Aren't you so privileged?
Yeah. Now, the weird thing is have you guys seen the news story that they're trying to develop meteorites? Like, artificial meteorites to do a meteor shower over the opening ceremonies? Like, I saw it as a Facebook event.
That's a thing?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a real thing. They're going to launch a mini satellite into the atmosphere with different gas fuels in them, and they'll burn different colors that rain down from the sky like shooting stars.
Crazy.
I've seen that as, like, one of those Now This Facebook videos, so I don't know the validity of it, and usually those things are fake. Maybe, I don't know. That's going to cost up to, like, they're worth millions of dollars per fake meteorite. So why not just cut that out of the performance... and get some LED twinkling lights to put over the stage, and pay your employees, pay your volunteers. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's way too ridiculous.
Now, next up in strange news, have you guys heard this story of the 67-year-old afternoon radio DJ that was arrested in Japan?
No.
Nobody's heard the story. Great. I'm the only one. Cool. Okay, cool. So there's this guy who's been doing this afternoon radio show on the air, 67 years old. So he's been doing it for, I would say, at least 20 years. I don't know the exact amount of time that he's been doing it for, but he was arrested. Like, can anybody guess what he did? Okay, so it has to do with being on the radio, if that narrows it down.
Oh, okay.
He went to the bathroom on the radio.
Selling his grandmother.
Use the word Monko.
Oh, that would do it, probably.
Yeah, probably.
It has to do with a piece of equipment in the room.
Cucumbers.
He farted into the microphone.
He did something with the microphone.
Oh.
God.
He stuffed it up his ass.
No, but that I knew that somebody was going to say that eventually. thanks for clearing the air, Kay.
That's what I thought, too.
clearing the air is a fart joke. No, he was arrested because on air, while he was on radio, he had a fit of rage, and he beat his female co-host with the microphone on air.
What?
Yes. That is a real thing.
What does that even sound like?
Yeah.
Thunk, thunk.
Yamete kudasai!
So a show aired four times a week since 1997. And Mei Gino was a 50-year-old media personality.
Oh man, so he beat a 50-year-old woman?
Yes. You think that they'd be bonded, but on June 27th, the elder radio host became so upset that he physically assaulted Gino, repeatedly kicking her in her left knee, and then struck her in the face with his microphone, cutting her lips.
Her left knee? Specifically?
So he was on the right, and they were sitting around having... So, like, Andrew, if you were kicking me right now...
Yes.
That would be... And then if you took our microphone and...
I think it would be harder than that if it split her lip open.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That was like... That's like a wind-up. Whack! Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. There is... there's no explanation for it on here. This article I'll post it in the description to see if anybody can interpret it differently than me, because I'm trying to get through the whole thing, you know, but
he's just an angry old man with angry old problems.
He is of age to be angry all the time. That is for sure.
Old man gets angry at cloud, takes it out on his co-host.
And that's as strange as it gets.
Really? That was our strange news?
That was our strange news.
Oh, you got some sucky strange news.
I'm sorry, Ken. Listen, the world needs to be weirder. Nothing blew up in China. I'm sorry.
But yeah. I guess that means we're moving on to what we're watching.
No.
No?
Because first, speaking of Pokemon Go, it's time for this Fetish of the Week!
Oh, Fetish of the Week.
Yeah. You got it. So... In light of Pokemon Go, this one was actually given to me a while ago, a couple weeks back, but I figured it was what a perfect time to talk about it since we talked about Pokemon Go. So many times I said Pokemon Go, Pokemon Go. From our wicked fan Mike, again, he's providing us with all of our excellent content. Get on his level, Gerardo, you're stepping behind. We're talking about today Japan's fascination with what Pokemon thing?
Pikachu's butt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody in Japan right now is obsessed with Pikachu's adorable ass.
You know that they know that he's been around since like 1995, right?
Or
something like that. I mean,
yeah. But, old enough.
Yeah. He's of age.
No, you don't know that, Kay. You have to realize that when Ash is gone, when he went off to college, because he did grow up eventually, that Pikachu passed away and she had to go out and get another Pikachu that looked exactly like him so he wouldn't know when he came home from college.
Oh my gosh.
It's still Pikachu. Just don't tell Ash.
Now remember, your name is Pikachu.
Pikachu. Good.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, there's like this obsession where like you can go and buy keychains, pillows, cookies, cafes are serving buns. Like, literal buns in the shape of Pikachu's buns.
Really?
Yeah!
That's
and
fantastic.
So, a while ago, they had this thing where they were doing hamster butts.
Uh-huh.
And, like, they're like, oh, cute hamster butts. And now they're like, oh, electric hamster butts.
That's so weird.
Yeah, so that was a phase that passed, but then it came back. I actually found this article on Kotaku, or rather, Mike sent it to us from Kotaku.
I'm looking at it right now.
Isn't it great? It's adorable.
It is. It's just so cute.
Pikachu butts.
Really want a Pikachu butt now.
Pikachu.
Well, I'd prefer a Pikachu, but, you know.
Pikachu butt.
Do you think that there are...
You have to watch Pokemon Go.
Yeah, do you think that there are Pokemon poachers out there that when they kill Pokemon, they, like, mount their butts instead of their faces?
Oh, these are really cute. Oh, this is so bizarre.
I feel like that J-List is going to have...
Apparently there's boxer
shorts. Yeah. I feel like that J-List is going to have an Onahole eventually.
Oh my gosh. No.
That's more like Bad Dragon.
Bad Dragon
territory.
That is a good point.
Do you think they're gonna like start drawing like the little asterisks on his butt?
We're going down some really bad territory right now, folks.
That's actually an American cartooning technique.
Yes, the asterisk on the butt. Unless that's like really Pikachu's butt and he like doesn't poop. Does Pikachu not poop?
Maybe. Well, could it just be like a bird where he just excretes all kind of chemicals waste from his body all at the same time? Did you know birds don't pee? Like, what?
Yeah, birds, it all comes out in like one go.
And that was Japan's finish of the week! So.
Eat your butts.
What? So, Pikachu in the butt?
Let's talk about what we're watching, because I'm sure there's a lot that we need to talk about what we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, not Caitlin. She already told us that she's not watching anything.
I'm watching Rewrite. That's all I've watched so far.
Hey, let's start with Rewrite.
I haven't started watching
I have
one
not
yet.
Started Rewrite either, but I know that Roman is translating it.
He is.
How is it?
I like it. I was really confused. The first episode is very confusing. Really? I can grab him and he can comment on Rewrite.
That would be awesome.
He's saying,
actually.
No, I don't want to.
Roman!
they're yodeling to you. but it's very confusing. There's some random 3D bits and it's an hour long episode. The first episode is.
Really?
So it was not expecting it, and I really need to play the visual novel because I have no clue what's going on.
Visual novel. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense.
Well, I was actually really surprised to find that Oz Mafia. I didn't know about that. Oz Mafia has a anime this season.
Yeah,
as
I have
well.
That. I have that in my queue. I really want to watch it because
which is on Crunchyroll. I mean,
Manga Gamer.
Yeah, Manga Gamer and Crunchyroll. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep, they're shorts.
Oh, okay. So then I won't be wasting my time by watching it.
Right.
Not wasting my time as in, like, it's going to be stupid. Wasting my time as in, if I don't like it.
Right. Just read the visual novel.
Yeah.
I thought the visual novel looked awesome. That was the opening that was done by the Canadian Christian band.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, Rewrite. I have that one in my queue. I also yet to watch it.
Of course, Love Live Sunshine. Watching that, too.
Oh, man! I can't find that. Where is it?
I'm watching it on Funimation. That's the only place you can watch it.
I can't believe that Crunchyroll doesn't have it, because they had the first two seasons of the original series, and now they're just gonna leave us high and dry.
Well, Funimation picked up the license.
That's stupid. I mean, I understand that they did the same thing for free. Or rather, there was a war between the licensing
and
Sentai, free.
Sentai Filmworks and Funimation.
But,
no, Discotech and Funimation.
Was it Discotech?
Yeah, Discotech.
Yeah, right, it was.
Yeah. The totally forgotten distributors that...
Oh, I love Discotech.
Oh, yeah, they're the diamond in the rough.
Yeah, Discotech is great.
They sell all my favorite bloody, gory animes.
Roman's giving a thumbs up in the corner.
Yeah!
They were actually pretty close to us when we lived in Florida. Anyway,
so how is Sunshine?
I love it. It's different from, you know, from Love Live.
Wait. You love Live It?
I love Live It. Yeah, that was lame, guys. That was lame.
It totally was.
High fives. You knew where he was going, though.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't expecting some parts of it. Like in the first episode, one girl just like strips down to, you know, her swimsuit, but they've never really done that before in Love Live. And then at one point, another character looks up another character's skirt. That's never happened before. So
interesting, creasing.
Yeah, well, it's weird. So this one takes place on like a coastline school or something like that. So is it
Okinawa? I think.
Is it basically all beach related stuff?
Yes. Because
it's all the promo stuff is very beachy, and that sounds like it's something I'd
interest,
be very
interested in. Further increases.
Yeah, interest increases.
There's like lots of swimming and water themes to it, and like at one point they go scuba diving in the second episode. So
I'm downloading the first episode right now.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's all you need to say, even though I kind of knew that's what it was.
There was a, they did a PV where, like, they did the first PV where they got people to get interested in the show. And then they were like, well, pick your favorite girl. Well, they picked their favorite girl, and they did, everyone was, like, mermaids. And it was really cute. So, you should just watch it already.
I always think that's such a fascinating feature of idol animes, is it's always pick your favorite girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, everybody always has a favorite girl. So, like, I love Live, I love Rin. From Idol Master, I love Hibiki. Like, it's just... Like, and that's, like, what it is. And, like, Cinderella Girls is, like, or the, you know, the other Idol Master. Yeah. Idol Master Cinderella Girls.
The Russian one.
Everybody's freaking out about the Russian girl. The white-haired Russian girl. So, and like, seeing everybody freak out about her, I'm just like, I wonder what that's all about. You know, like, and kind of brings up interest in the show. It'd be like, I wonder if I would like the Russian girl. It's such a weird phenomenon when it comes to shows like that.
I just love the fact that they are so willing to receive input from fans.
Yes.
And just return that and be like, hey, we made something for you, you know? I just love that about the Love Live and Idol itself franchise, or, you know, genre itself.
Lovers of loving Love Live.
Yes.
Gerardo, what are you watching?
I'm watching a lot of Camp Camp, which is an American cartoon by Rooster.
Yes. Yes.
I believe I've told you guys about it.
Yes, you have.
Not sure if you're watching
it. And I haven't started watching it yet.
Well, you can watch it on YouTube. They have the first four episodes up. Episode 5 is right now is on Rooster Teeth, and it'll be uploaded within a week in YouTube. But Camp Cap is just a simple story about a young kid named Max. He's stuck in a camp that's run by really weird people, and they have really weird camps. And he just wants to leave. He hates the place. And it's just fantastic. If you like South Park-style comedy, Camp Cap is the way to go.
Oh, okay.
Finish watching all of my animes of last season, which were Space Patrol Luluko. The ending was fantastic. I cried.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Well, and me and you actually had an interesting discussion after Luluko was over, where we were discussing, like, I was like, hey, did Luluko become, like, the mascot of Trigger? Because at the end, her dad calls her Trigger-chan.
Yes.
And so which means she basically became the Moe-tan. Like, it was a whole anime about her achieving Moe-tan. Of Trigger.
Yeah.
I never even considered that.
Really? Wow. Yep. I never thought of that either.
Seriously? Nobody thought of this? This is, he calls her Trigger-chan at the end, and nobody was just like, oh, ding, light bulb connection?
Nope.
And
I just thought that she became a combination of Yoko and Haru Haru Haruko.
Yeah.
I was at the Studio Trigger panel, and they mentioned that she was designed as the Studio Trigger mascot, per se. And they just kind of ran with it.
Huh. That's neat. It is really neat. I like that.
And they even said that, you know, now that they've shown that she can hop from world to world of Studio Trigger works, she'll probably appear in other shows.
Yeah, you can see Luluko and Nova standing in the mall in the final scene of Kiznaiver. Yes. They're just standing there.
They're just standing there, talking with each other.
Yeah.
In the background, it's like, where's Waldo?
Oh, you know, kind of how like in Frozen when Rapunzel and Flynn Rider walk through the scene.
Yeah.
At the Queen coronation.
Yeah. Yep. Like that.
It was exactly like that. Being like, haha, these universes are connected. You see.
So let's talk about some new anime.
Yes, let's talk about some new anime.
We have a lot.
Well, we already did kind of talk about some new anime.
Yeah. Food Wars. Well, we can start with Food Wars because that's a returning one.
Yes.
It's great.
It is great.
It's exactly where it left off, and it is exactly what we want.
Yes, the first episode... Well, I've only seen the first episode. By now, the second episode is out, and I haven't watched it.
Oh my god, watch it.
Oh, yeah, such a good episode.
It's gonna be like the first thing I watch. Well, no, I always watch JoJo first, but then I'll watch Food Wars. But the first episode was very much like, oh, remember when we were here last year? Well, now we're back, and it was just perfect. It was the perfect first episode to bring the season back into play. Yeah. It was so great. And now, but now they only have 13 episodes this season. That's crazy. They're not doubling up like they did last year. So, but I think it means that they're going to move the story along faster. So we're going to see
We're
going to see more content in a shorter time. So we're going to get more story revealed.
Or is it the fact that they may or may not be able to achieve a season 3?
That would be bad. But
it'd be devastating.
It could also be that they're catching up to the graphic novels very fast.
That is a good point. Down.
Yeah,
that is a very good point.
They probably need to slow down so that the manga can,
yeah,
a little scooch.
Yeah,
little scooch.
Right. Kind of like what they're doing with Haikyuu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which Haikyuu is in fact coming back already, though.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that Volleyball Boys would be so exciting?
Oh, because it is. Volleyball Boys is friggin' exciting. It's great.
Thank you, 42 Believer.
Yes. Thank you, Sarah.
You have made us a believer. Let's talk about the next most badass thing in the world.
I think you're talking about Berserk.
I think I am talking about Berserk.
So, Evan, have you watched the movies yet?
Does that answer your question?
So then the answer is no, which means you cannot watch the next episode.
I can't. No. It's staring at me right here. And Netflix only has the first movie.
Yeah, well, I have all three. So you have to come to our house and we'll watch them, or I'll bring them to our, whatever. They're great.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
So if you guys are starting to watch Berserk now and you have not seen the Golden Age movies or read the manga,
you have to.
You have to watch the Golden Age movies or else all the story is going to get spoiled for you. It's a very heavy, spoiler-heavy story. You have to know like what happens to all the characters previous, where these enemies come from. Why Guts is being hunted down by these demons. The first episode of Berserk is actually how the manga starts out. So the manga starts out with that little introduction to the world, and then it goes back to the Golden Age.
Yep.
So it's okay if you watch the first episode of Berserk, but then you have to watch the Golden Age movies.
Yeah, do not watch the second episode.
Yeah, we're telling you that right now, and by the time this is going to come out, you're probably going to have to
watch...
Yeah, it's going to be too late. But we're
you should probably
what we're doing
tweet
right
this.
Now,
you should probably really tweet this.
Yeah. So we're reaching out right now and scolding you. Shame on you for not watching the Golden Age movies and watching Berserk, because Berserk is amazing and it is top anime tier, like maybe like right under JoJo and Kenshiro from Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Guts is up there, man. I love Guts.
He's
great.
So good.
He is a anime character. Just know that he is anime. Thank you, Gerardo. Oh, by the way, Gerardo, I didn't send this to you, but Gerardo sent me a one of those Go Mojo videos of like top 10 anime.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and like the list was good, but Go Mojo makes a whole bunch of like pandering lists.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, this Naruto character is one of the manliest characters. I was like, F you, Go Mojo, because JoJo, Kenshiro. Kenshiro was like number 5 on the list, but like all the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure characters, like honorable mentions, and Kamina was like up at the top there. Like,
no!
Kamina's manly as character. I was like, no, just because you say that you're manly does not mean you're manly. Like, oh, it's so annoying. But thank you, Gerardo, because Bubba was on the list, and I appreciated that.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about some new stuff that we didn't know exactly that we whether or not we were going to like it.
Are you sure? Because if you say that about New Game, I knew, like, I researched New Game before it came out. And
I didn't know I was going to like it when I saw it.
No, I saw the PV for New... I actually, when we were setting up for this episode, I told Gerardo, he's like, oh, I got to start watching something. I told him to watch New Game, because it's amazing. So, both you, Evan, you watched New Game, right?
Yes, I watched New Game.
Yeah,
I really liked it. We were having a discussion about that. We're going to, after I do my top 100 album show, we're going to have you and another person who works for a certain game company I can't mention on the
Schmark
show.
Schmar.
We'll talk about the show, we'll review it, and we'll talk about reality and non-reality of the program.
Caitlin and Gerardo, I highly, highly, highly recommend watching New Game, because you'll watch it and you'll be like, wow, this show sickens me because of how cute it is. It's one of the cutest shows I have ever seen since watching Kinomoza.
which by the way, I finished watching Kinomoza. I marathoned through both seasons of it, and I liked it.
Yeah, I haven't finished it yet. I'm still on season one.
How do I catch up faster than you do on these sorts of things?
Since Kinomoza, I've never been like, wow, I want to screen cap every single shot in this anime. Because, like, the facial expressions that they make out in it are so adorable. And all the characters are drawn in such a cute manner that, like, I don't know. Like, Tumblr must be going nuts with this stuff is basically what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I must say, I cannot wait to watch the next episode. Yeah. Like, I'm actually legitimately excited to be like, wow, I want to watch a new game because it is so cute. And once the cuteness stops, I'm probably going to be very sad.
Yeah. I want to talk about the anime that I also think that everybody should be watching.
What's that?
Sweetness and Lightning.
Yes.
Oh.
I nearly broke down crying in front of four of my coworkers at a car parts dealership.
This was together.
Yeah. Like,
okay, no, okay. So then, what we're gonna, what I would like to say about this show is, if nobody has watched it yet, and yes, you must watch this show. This is a top tier wicked anime. Must watch this show this season. If you watch Sweetness and Lightning, the first episode alone is like almost like a standalone story.
Yeah,
that's how good the first episode is.
If they didn't have an episode two, I would have been perfectly fine.
Yeah, and the ups and downs of, like, this is a high point, like, this is happy, and this is sad, balances out to this beautiful medley of storytelling where it's just like, wow, I feel really good even though these people are really sad.
Yeah.
It's
like the feeling when you're hanging out with a bunch of people that you like inside your house, but it's a hurricane outside.
Yeah, and then,
oh, that's actually a good analogy.
I thought about that while I was watching it.
And, and it's very cool because I read the comments on the Crunchyroll feed for the show, and people are just like, the people who read the manga were very happy with how it came out.
Yeah.
And they were just like, it's sweet the whole way through. Like, the whole way through, it never gets like sleazy or punchy or anything. It's just this good.
It's just nice.
Yeah, it's a nice show. In amongst all the trash anime that gets put out, actually, well, nowadays our anime is becoming much.
2016 is doing good for anime so far.
Yeah. Last season we had Flying Witch, and now this season we have Sweetness and Lightning.
Yeah, well, there are some trash animes, but I'm gonna save that for the wikis. I'm just gonna say that I've seen. But yeah, at the end of the year, so. But yeah, no, top tier, one of my recommendations with all the rest.
I would actually suggest that first, possibly out of everything that's playing right now, besides the continuation stuff.
And new game, because it's so cute.
No, even before new game, I would say Sweetness and Lightning is definitely must watch before new game.
That's another good point, though, because new game is definitely playing off the moe factor.
Like,
they have moe-fied the show to shameless amounts of moe, and I don't care.
Yeah.
This show very much is like, wow, like, that is cute without forcing my emotions.
It's on the merits of the characters and how they're written.
Yeah, and so it's adorable in a way that doesn't pander or make you feel gross. Plus, they do the thing where they have a child actor or a child character who's not played by an adult pretending to be a child and making that kind of cuteness. They're making a cuteness by it's actually a child voice actor.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Voice actress. Yeah, they did the same thing with Barakamon with the kids on the island, and it's actually one of the voice actresses who played one of the main characters. The main child character's best friend. The, like, really shy and quiet one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And they did a great job. And they're doing that more often now, which is great. I love it. I love it to death.
I actually forgot a show I forgot to mention earlier. It's the Morose of Mononokian.
Okay.
It's about this guy. He is cursed by a demon. Like, that's the first, like, 5 seconds. And, like, the first week of school, he's just passing out right in front of his school gate. Like, he can't even make it to his freaking class. And he needs someone to exorcise this demon, and that's pretty much what it's about. I'm working on the manga for Crunchyroll, so it's finally got the anime, and I'm so excited. And a lot of people think it's a BL, but the opening sort of suggests that, but it's not. It's really about these two guys that become friends that exorcise demons together.
Well, that's not going to stop the fandom.
I have this in my queue. Yeah, I have this in my queue, and I actually really wanted to watch it this season.
It's really good. The manga is fantastic. So, I cannot remember his name. He voices Eren in Attack on Titan. He voices the main character.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, if that helps, you should go watch it.
Yeah, that one's on Crunchyroll, and I have it in my queue. Really want to watch it. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, some shows that we should talk about for sure as well. The Art Club has a problem.
Yes!
I only thought it was okay. I believe it or not, even though Evan was just like, man, you're going to love the main character because he was drawing cat girls in the main
yes.
Spot, so.
He was making waifus.
The show is about this guy who joins the art club and he's trying to create his perfect waifu.
Yeah, so the main character there who's trying to make his waifu,
I disagree
Uchimaki.
With his waifus.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with his waifu, but the main girl who works beside him has a crush on him. And the first episode, I was just like, why does she have a crush on him?
He's a terrible character.
Yeah, like, he's an awful character, and he doesn't, like, have any likable points, but she's in love with him because plot, I think. Like, because of plot device.
Yeah.
And where, yes, the show was very funny, the characters fell kind of flat for me.
I mean, I can understand where you're coming from, but from just a brainless, entertaining sort of show, I enjoyed this Art Club has a problem. Now, my question is, and I brought this up, I don't know if anybody else who has been watching this show had noticed in the first half of the episode, while Uchimaki is having Mizuki posing, you notice that there's somebody inside the locker watching
yes,
all
I
this
did.
Happening.
Yeah,
I totally missed it.
No, I saw this the first time I saw it through, and I was like, huh, that was weird. I think that's the other art student who's missing from the show.
Yeah, the one that they mentioned like one or two times.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that wants that to never be explained.
Oh,
like,
no, she's in the opening sequence.
she is? Oh.
Yeah, she's a little blonde girl in the opening sequence.
Okay. Because
she's probably going to be in the next episode.
Yeah, probably. I was kind of hoping it would be funny if it was like an inside joke with the animators that they put a random person in the background.
This isn't Disney, Evan. We're not putting pin-up girls in the windows of flybys. What?
Yeah.
I know Disney secrets.
Yeah, but it was okay. I would definitely tell people to give it a shot because there are moments in it that are really funny. Like the part where the guy starts talking about his waifu and the girl's like, no, we should give this guy a shot. And he's like, oh, I want to create a waifu. Get out.
Yeah.
Like I thought lines like that were really funny. The way that they were written, good timing and everything like that. The characters in the show don't really make any sense because they have no reason to like each other the way that they do.
Yep.
Lastly, though, the last anime that I want to talk about is the one that everybody's been itching to watch is Re:Life.
Yep.
Which
all 13
they,
episodes up in one day.
Yeah, they Netflixed it. They just put every episode up. And weekly, they're slowly becoming not premium membership. So they're slowly becoming free to regular viewers 1 week at a time, but if you're a member, you get to watch the entire series all at once.
And they did do this in Japan as well. They released all of Re:Life,
which is weird. It's never been seen before, never been done. But it's cool. I like it. I like this idea that they have. Now, Re:Life was cool, but it was a little weird.
I haven't watched it yet.
Really?
I haven't watched the first episode yet.
I like all the characters in it.
Same here. I do too.
It's tagged as a romance. And I have only seen the first episode and a half because I fell asleep watching the second episode. and I don't know who the romance is going to be.
Is it a harem kind of a thing?
No.
Oh. No.
Is a 27-year-old going to be falling, as a 17-year-old, going to be falling in love with one of the students? Is he going to be helping other characters in the story fall in love with each other? Or is he going to fall in love with his 25-year-old teacher?
Oh, that's a cool idea.
And he's going to come on to her and say, like, I can't, you're a student, I can't. And then he's going to be 27 at the end of the series and be like, oh, now let's date. And then she's probably going to say, like, I can't, you're 27, but you were also my student. That's really weird. I don't know. But
it's going to be some weird Pocahontas avatar kind of thing. Like, you betrayed me. You're not who you say you are.
Yeah.
And then
we did
then
the things like, with like, the tails like, together.
We melded our brains.
You burned down my tree of eyes.
they have some really awesome characters in the show, and I really like them. And I wasn't expecting the comedy to be the way it was. Like, the guy who gives him the pill, also ends up being in the same classroom as him because the guy, the guy who gives him the pill disguises himself as a 17-year-old as well so he can watch over him as a test subject. And then he's watching the guy fumble in classroom because he hasn't been in school in 10 years. And, like, as he's fumbling around, oh, I forgot my pencil case, he's just sitting in the back, you know, like, laughing hysterically, you know.
No, no, yeah, my favorite bit's the cigarette bit.
Oh, yeah.
I just screamed with laughter when that happened.
Yeah, the teacher finds cigarettes in his backpack, and as a 27-year-old, he can buy it. It's like, what, they're just cigarettes. He's like, they're just cigarettes? Yeah, what's the big deal? I buy them all the time. Yeah, so what? It's a few seconds. No! It's like, yeah. Wait! It was a misunderstanding. You know, yeah, it was great. Great stuff. And I just say, that's all I've been watching this season. I think this is enough what we're watching for now. Next episode, we'll definitely have more because I have way more anime to watch.
There are a couple more that we haven't even touched on that I've actually been watching. Yeah, so but we'll talk
about
it.
We are running out of time, sir. Yeah, we are running out of time.
Which means we have to turn the mics over entirely because we're going to be talking about a subject that we weren't even present for. We watched a few things through Kay's live streams on Facebook, and that was kind of fun. Because there was, like, a lot of people there. But you guys have more of the on-hands experience of what you did, what you saw, who you met, swag that you hunted down, which I'm incredibly jealous of. Caitlin.
Sorry.
That you posted on Facebook, and I am still just fuming over, like, what the hell is wrong with you?
I would have bought just as much Shirobako stuff as you did.
There's a funny story about that, but I'll go into that in a minute. I'll actually let Gerardo go first.
It was free, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ah!
Sorry.
All right, Gerardo. She's giving you the floor. Tell us about your Anime Expo experience.
All right. So this year wasn't as great for me as other years. Okay. There just wasn't that many panels that really caught my attention. I only went to two.
It's usually two.
Yeah, that's how Anime Boston usually goes.
It's like four panels, two of which are ours.
Because I love the dealer's room.
Yeah, I love the dealer's room too, but I love going to panels.
Okay.
But there just wasn't that much that interested me. I went to Studio Trigger panel and I went to the Cowboy Bebop Jazz Experience.
Ooh.
That looked really cool.
Fantastic.
Tell us about that.
Well, for the first half they put on a bit of the Cowboy Bebop music. They did the main intro, Tank, and Cowboy Blues, and something else I don't really remember right now.
You recorded Spooky Doki, and they brought in the harmonica one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one.
Oh, nice.
Then they brought in the cast members, did a few Q&A. It was the main four English voice actors.
Yep, Steve Bloom, Wendy Lee, Melissa Fawn. Yeah, Bill Billingsley and Melissa Fawn. That should be all of them.
And the dog who played
apparently, Steve Bloom, he has a tattoo of the line wave that says bang.
Yes, I did know that, actually.
I never knew that. And that is fantastic. That is dedication.
On his forearm, from his elbow to his wrist, is the tattoo of his voice's wave thing, length, of him saying bang.
Oh my gosh, that breaks my heart. Ugh.
Yeah.
Cowboy Bebop is so good.
And they did it like a short Q&A. They already had questions pre-picked, so no one got to ask questions.
Okay.
Which kind of sucked.
All you nerds, sit your asses down.
Yeah. Yeah. And after that, they did Ave Maria. They also did, what's that Beatles song?
Hey Jude.
No, not Hey Jude.
Yellow Submarine.
Carry That Weight.
I Am the Walrus. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
You're going to carry that weight?
I want to hold your hand. You're gonna carry that weight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Cool. We were close. Yeah, we were. Sergeant Pepper's.
Yeah.
Let's still. We should still
live and let die.
Yeah. We'll still keep going. That was Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
It was.
So I don't know why they did a Beatles song, but it was still good. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
It was just kind of random.
Well, it's because at the end of one of the episodes, instead of "See You, Space Cowboy," it's "You Got to Carry That Weight." Is it?
Yeah. The last episode is "You Gotta Carry That Weight."
Oh my gosh, I love you, Cowboy Bebop.
I don't remember this.
Alright, so dealer's room hunting. How was the dealer's room? What was the quality like?
They really upped the size of the dealer's room.
What?
First of all, they moved the artist alley, because the artist alley was within the dealer's room previously.
Artist alley.
And the artist alley now got moved down to where the autographs are at, which is like right under the exhibition hall.
In the basement.
Yeah, in the basement. Which sucks for them because that kind of takes away part their main
business. It was also really hot down there too.
Yeah, it was baking.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I felt so bad for those artists. It was steaming in there. It was so bad. You could just feel the heat just coming out of this room the second you walked into it.
Man. All their sample art just curling on the sides of their tables.
Man, I gotta say though, every single artist that I follow on like DeviantArt or wherever that like inspires me to do and like stuff I like was there. Like every single one of them. And I was so upset that I wasn't there to at least meet them or talk to them, like get their exclusive prints. Cause I was watching them paint and I was watching them paint the prints that they were going to paint or sell at Anime Expo. And I wasn't there. I could just sit back and be like, oh, it's on the other side of the country. That's amazing.
Now, one of the things that I had heard about Anime Expo, I read it in an article, a review from one of our friends. Anime Expo is kind of how E3 was before they just made it press only, where it was just kind of like an exhibition of the greatest things ever. And it wasn't really like a convention. It was more like a giant advertisement.
Yeah, I could believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that really true?
Yeah.
How much of it is fan-driven nowadays?
I don't even remember even seeing a fan-driven panel listed on the actual panel sheets.
Wow.
Every time I walked by a panel room, you know, I just sort of glance at it, and it was really just industry panels. I mean, I'm sure there were fan panels, but they weren't very prevalent compared to, let's say, like, Otakon or Anime Boston or... Yeah, it was very... industry driven. I honestly wonder how people not industry or press actually get around this convention.
Yeah. See, that would be a problem for me, I think, because I like the community being involved. For
some of the panels at Anime Boston are really bad though.
Yeah, but that's part of the fun of it is you go and you just feel like, wow, I just walked into the room where everything sucks. Yeah, like, but then again, you know, being a part of the community is a really important driving factor, because if you're not interested in advertisements or anything like that, if you want to hear from the community, then you got to go somewhere else. You can't go to Anime Expo. However, on the other side of things, Anime Expo is humongous.
Yeah.
And you can't keep that many fans in check when they want to do panels.
Yeah,
and
you can't really regulate panels that big.
So in that case, I understand.
So that means that Wicked Anime has to be like really big before we can do hardcore anime over there.
Which means we'll never do it. Now, what were the original, like the regular sizes of rooms there? Like, are we talking that every hall seats like 1,000 people?
Do you remember how big like hall A and B are at AB?
Yes.
They're about that big.
Every single room.
Generally, yeah. They were huge.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, that seems like an important opportunity to have to fill those rooms. And in some cases, you just can't do that with fans, you know, because...
Well, I saw a video online, I think it was probably from Crunchyroll or someone, one of the industry people, when they cut the ribbon open to open up Anime Expo to the fans, and I'm surprised nobody got trampled and died. Because it was like Comic-Con.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Every year it's the same
like,
thing.
Because they cut that ribbon, and it was an ocean of people. It was kind of horrifying. Like, just, like, I can imagine, like, the body odor smell.
Oh, it was...
Yeah. Every year it's pretty awful. There's no way we could get around that.
Well, you know what the really crappy part was? I was also doing dealing... I was in the dealer's room, too, and I was behind the booth. And day zero, which is that Thursday, they didn't have the air conditioning on. So everyone in the dealer's hall that was setting up these giant booths, there was no air conditioning. So all you smell is, like, bulky man meat smell. And, and like, this one
it
dude...
It smells like boys love in here.
Like, you can just smell, like, the people from the Funimation booth because it just... Like, they weren't actually Funimation employees. They were event staff, and they were trying to put this huge booth together, and it's like, you can smell them all the way from over here.
You just gotta get the Puerto Rican showers going is all.
I guess. Oh, my goodness. And I'm so glad they finally turned it on Friday.
Do you think that that person who was cosplaying as Arachnia had a portable toilet inside that spider body.
She wasn't in there all day.
She was just pooping all day long.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that cosplay was amazing. All jokes aside, that cosplay was utterly astounding. And how was the quality of cosplay there?
It was amazing.
Yeah, every year there's usually something that someone that really goes all out.
See, what was your favorite besides Arachnia?
I saw a lot of Fire Emblem cosplays that I really
did.
Liked.
You?
Yeah.
That makes me jealous.
I saw this amazing Marth that just randomly walked by. It was like, hey, come look at my porn. Hold on, let me take a picture of you. So, and he was really cool. I saw a lot of fake cosplays, too.
My favorite cosplays was this group of people dressing as Overwatch characters, but they did it in like a very low budget. So it's just kind of like they called it a budget watch.
Budget watch.
Budget watch.
I like that. That's awesome. Do you have pictures?
I do.
Ooh.
I have one.
You have one. All right.
Oh, that's wow. Awesome.
I love just Reaper. Very low. Oh, I love Reaper. We'll post this in the description.
I like how there's the Gundam that's being crossed out and rewritten as Mechie.
Stuff like that. See, stuff like that is what makes conventions really fun. Is when fans have the most fun with it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with all the different things that they have going on, panels, dealer's room, artist alley, what was the highest quality? Like, where do you think people spent the majority of their time? What was the best thing to go to at the show?
The dealer's room.
Body pillow?
Definitely.
Let's say, how big is the dealer's room there?
Because, like I said, it used to be the artist alley and the exhibition hall used to be one and the same. But they moved the artist alley down to the basement.
So now they expanded
into that whole area.
All right. So I don't think my budget for Anime Boston would be enough for this con. Yeah, so Caitlin, with our knowledge of Anime Boston, to put it into perspective for us, so we have the dealer's room at Anime Boston, which is those two rooms.
Yeah, I would honestly those two rooms, smush them together, and then double it.
All right.
So this room is huge. So those videos that I put on Facebook, I maybe went through a fourth of that room. That huge Monster Hunter blimp was really cool.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Stop talking about Monster Hunter and I'm not there.
I'm sorry. I walked over and was like, I need to get this for Andrew and Jonathan.
Yay, thank you. I know, yeah. I watched that video. I was like, oh, wow.
Wow.
Gerardo, I bet you stopped at the Monster
Hunter. I did. They didn't have anything for sale. They just had the Monster Hunter demo.
Did they
which
really?
I was kind of sad of.
I would have thought they would have at least had some exclusive pins or something. They always have pins. I don't know what Monster Hunter's obsession with pins is, but they got them.
That's the map to the exhibition hall.
Actually, yep, this is pretty much what you expect when you go to E3. A size like this.
We'll link to the map so that our listeners can follow along.
Yeah.
It's like a visual guide.
Because this is insane.
So, let's wrap it up. Is there anything else really cool that you guys need to tell us about?
Well, yeah. So, Caitlin, tell us tell us some of your adventures. Tell us some adventures.
It was very different.
Yeah, that's right. This was your first time there, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was my first AX. It was my first time going to California, period, actually. It was very overwhelming to, you know, be there and meet so many different people. And just this convention, I got lost several times. I had no idea where I was going. I think the biggest thing that sticks out in my head is that we actually had this this to scale doll at our booth the whole weekend of one of the characters.
Yes.
And
yes, I saw that.
She was so soft. we were playing with her all weekend. At least I was. And I swear to God, she must have been made out of a fleshlight, because she was that squishy. So, like, at one point, the event staff actually came over after one of the days, and they were just like, hey, is she as squishy as I think she is? So they were groping her and molesting her, and one guy was, like, looking up under her skirt, and I got really curious, so I looked underneath there myself, so that was fun.
Was it a fully functional doll? Is that what you're talking
about? She was sewed up, but yes.
Oh, my word.
That's all I'm going to say.
She's been neutered.
But she's fully...
That's all you need to say. You told us everything.
She's fully equipped. She didn't have nipples, though. So that was, like, It was disappointing.
No nipples. That's a deal breaker for me.
It was a deal breaker. I was curious.
Yeah. Well, you have to tell us what game character that
She's
was, because I know
what it is. She's from Beatle Taruka. From Alisoft?
Yes. Alisoft.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That game actually looks really fun.
It does look
really
fun.
It's a lot of fun. You get to train your ninjas with your dick. Your titty ninjas.
Oh, hentai games.
Yes.
You be cray cray.
Never stop
being
cray cray.
Based off real documentation from back in the day, don't you know?
Yeah.
Any good artists from Artist Alley?
I actually didn't get a chance to go.
Are you serious?
Oh, well, I was working the booth all weekend. And okay. When I wasn't working the booth, I had other work obligations for other companies. So,
oh man.
So I was whenever I was doing something, or whenever I wasn't at the booth, I was actively doing other things. I did go down there at one point because that's where the autographs were, as Gerardo mentioned earlier. And I helped out with some stuff with our guests, and I did get to see the Artist Alley. I didn't actually get to buy anything.
Oh man, because. Me and you both being on Picardo TV, Caitlin, I figured that like maybe like someone that you would watch as well would be.
Oh yeah, a crap ton of my favorite artists were there, but I never got to check them out.
That is so sad.
I was pretty bummed, but
that is the saddest story I've ever heard.
I actually came home with way more stuff than I meant to, so it's probably a good thing that I didn't go.
Yeah, right.
There was so much Shirobako stuff. I had to stick it in my suitcase, and I had this huge bag that I got from the airport that could barely fit it as it was. So, and TSA sort of gave me like, we'll let you through, but we're not happy about it.
Man, so I'm probably going to have to check in two suitcases.
Yeah, you probably will. Yeah. I actually considered buying another suitcase while I was at the convention because I thought I would need it.
Yikes.
Wow. Well,
So then maybe what I'll do is usually when I go away on vacation somewhere, I only take a duffel bag with my clothes, toiletries, and all that stuff, and that can be used as a carry-on.
Right.
And then I'll put like the empty suitcase in the... It'll be empty, but I bring it with me, and when it comes back, it'll be full.
There you go.
We got a whole year to prepare, dude.
We do. Yes, we do. And I was kind of hoping that I would be able to go to Japan first, but because this sounds like it's going to be a huge hit on my budget, but hey. Mm-hmm. Caitlin already started this, but last question I really want to ask. Best thing you bought. Yes.
Oh, crap.
Is that a good aw crap or a bad aw crap? Or is it one of those aw craps aw
crap
that
I don't
want to
say.
No, nothing
she
like
already,
that.
You bought the doll at your booth, didn't you?
I wish I did, actually.
Yeah, she already admitted to groping the doll. I don't think there's anything that she would have bought that
would
have been worse.
It was really funny because like guys would walk up to the up to the doll, they would play with her fingers or whatever, and I'm just like, just grab the tit. Just do it. We all know you want to do it, just do it. And they would be really weird about that, and every time a girl would walk up, they'd just go honk, honk. You know, the girl.
Well, it's because you're allowed to.
Exactly. And then, like, one guy licked her face. That was interesting. It's like, you don't know where that's been.
Yeah.
Who's gonna be sick for the rest of the convention?
Right.
It's still made of chemicals.
That's how consciousness starts.
He's patient zero of conflict, licking your love dolls.
And that's how the zombie apocalypse happens. Right? Not by a virus, but because someone had to lick a love doll.
Made out of Onahole.
Yeah, pretty much. But I really, I got that all that Shirobako stuff from somebody for free. So I had like a playmat and like acrylic stands and posters. So I got all that stuff for free. So I think the only thing I really bought was like this $15 plush toy. That's
Man,
all
I'm
I
so
bought
jealous
for myself.
Of your...
And I can't think of... Oh, I bought the King Blades, you know, for the concert. The things that light up. The glow ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I got those.
Yeah.
So, I bought King Blades and a plush toy. That's all I bought. Everything else
I'm so
like...
jealous of your... I'm so jealous of your Shirobako stuff. It makes me so angry.
I think I have so much that I would be willing to part with some.
That's all I was doing. I was just pandering and begging until that would happen.
Oh, okay. So, that was your plan the whole time.
Yes, Jay. But it was out of the generosity of you. So
Jay,
you just had to get to that point.
Oh man, that's great. But that's so cool. I'm so happy to hear that you did. Because going to Anime Boston, you know, we didn't get to see all that kind of Shirobako stuff. So seeing like all this other exclusive stuff that you could pick up from Anime Expo,
that's what really made me jealous, you know? Like, yeah. So that was so cool. I was like, oh, Caitlin has Shirobako stuff. I'm super jealous. So, yeah, so that was really fun.
It was actually I worked with at Crunchyroll. Oh. They were like, hey, so-and-so went to Japan and got all the Shirobako stuff. Do you want any of it? I'm like, yes.
Yeah,
how much of it? No.
Was that like a rhetorical question, or are you just dumb?
So he had like this full suitcase of stuff, and I'm just sifting through it, and they're like, can you just save like one or two things for other people, please? I'm like, no, you said I could have it, so I'm sifting through it.
Yeah, you asked me, you said I could have this, no.
No backsies, yo.
I was really surprised it came with like this huge calendar. I thought it was a poster, but it's actually a calendar. And it, like, flips up, and there's, like, 10 pages in it. It's awesome. I'm sorry to, like, pour salt in the wound, but I'm really happy about it.
You have full advantage over everything over here right now, so you can brag all you want.
Oh, okay. But if you guys come up this summer, you guys can see it, all the goodies.
Yes. That sounds good to me. Yes.
Sounds like a good idea.
We should plan for it. And if you're ever in the Northeast, Gerardo, that invitation is extended to you, too.
Hey, well, of course, he's coming for Anime Boston, aren't you, Gerardo?
I do want to.
You should.
No. So, Gerardo, what's your favorite thing that you bought? As shameless or not?
I did buy two figures of Lupin and Fujiko.
Cool.
Of Chifigo Art, I think the company's name. They're very small, but postable, very good quality. Bought them for like $30. And the next time I saw them, they were like $50.
Oh, nice.
So, score.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Cool. Figures are always a winner. In my book, though, granted, lately I've been happy with just like seeing them and be like, oh, there it is, okay, I'm good now.
Yeah,
but there are some that pop up that I'm just like, oh, if I saw that, that would be in my pocket.
Yeah. I don't
need to. Stealing is bad. I immediately grabbed them.
These are $30 in my pocket.
All right, very cool. Happy Anime Expo, everybody, and I'm glad you guys had a good time.
Thank you.
So fan service.
Yes, we do have a little bit of fan service. So we touched on this a little bit, but Temsu emailed us, and Temsu wanted to wish Victoria a very belated birthday, because it was her birthday over the past couple of weeks.
Well, now it's going to be even more belated, because he has to wait 2 weeks for this episode to come out.
And he recommends she should open up all the nakeries.
Yes.
Yes,
she should.
All the nakeries.
I forgot about this. I do want her to play the horror games.
Yes!
Yeah, all right, cool.
Because that was one of the next things that he said. He said, okay, make sure you add me in the running total of peeps. I am a checkmark next to Victoria playing a horror game.
Cool, so that's Temsu, Gerardo. That makes 20.
All right,
yeah. Woo! Yeah!
Okay, so we made a deal with Victoria the last episode that if we get 20 people, 20 fans, or 20 people from across the internet... across Wicked Anime on all of our different medias, we'll keep a tally that if we get 20 of them, she will play a horror game, like with headphones and everything, totally immersed in the dark.
On our Wicked Anime.
On Wicked Anime Play. Do it.
Okay. Added. Great.
Yeah. So that makes three. It makes three.
And then
I was joking about the 20 thing.
Yeah. So he also says that Waifu Watch is indeed a great idea. So that was, I agree, I had a
so
lot of
So shout out to Scott, Shaded Spriter.
Yep.
Great suggestion. I can't wait to do it again.
Yep. And he said, you can't go wrong with the ladies of Overwatch for a good start. They make a fun, diverse kit.
What does he want us to do next?
He said, we'll kind of discuss this a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe that, no, was, we didn't that was pre-recording. He says that he would like to toss us Food Wars.
Good. Yes, yeah, we can do Food Wars. We can definitely do Food Wars.
Chrono Trigger. Which
I haven't played that in years.
Yeah, none of us have really
like
played.
Like, decade.
And where was the mecha?
No, somebody else sent us the mecha.
So somebody else sent us mecha pilots. Which
I bet it was Big Bad.
It might have been Big Bad, yeah.
Big Bad, yeah. So Big Bad's fan services, he was telling us that the new Voltron bad guy, Galra Empire, is the bad guys from... Beast King Goleon, which is one of the shows that they combined to make Voltron in America, which was another nod to the whole thing, which is awesome. They did that all the time. And he just wanted to mention to us that his Overwatch waifu is Zarya, because he has a thing for strong Russian women.
Which I don't blame him. Like, I'm actually, like, I see the appeal of Zarya.
Yeah, I mean, like, get on board with Glitch. Broad-shouldered women.
Yeah, well, and see, the thing is, too, is me and him, like, get on the same page. Because he plays Zarya, and I play Tracer.
Yeah.
And we make a killer team.
Now, here's the thing that I've heard. I've heard from people around the internet that Zarya is actually openly a lesbian in...
I am not familiar with that.
Yeah, I've heard that elsewhere. I don't know if it's true. But it's possible. I don't know.
Any facts? So people, send us facts, people. We'd be interested in this.
So that would be kind of...
I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah, that would be kind of troublesome for waifu, for people who want waifu. Well, except, except for lesbian waifus.
Yeah, lesbian waifus.
Yeah, then...
Or bisexual waifus.
Yeah, or bi... Yeah.
So,
yeah. Either way.
Yeah. Either way. But it actually doesn't matter because waifuism isn't a real thing to begin with. So your waifu can be a lesbian and it does not matter.
Yeah, because you always seem to run into that problem anyways with your waifus.
Like Kanu from Ikitosen, I was like, oh, Kanu's really cool. I think that might be waifu material. Oh, she likes chicks. And then, like, it was the same thing with, what's her name from The Familiar of Zero. Like, my waifu character from The Familiar of Zero is like, I hear she likes women. But it was never, like, confirmed in the show, so that's kind of up in the air.
That's just a problem that you've always had.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, whatever. Waifus aren't real. Cartoon characters aren't real, so it doesn't matter. So, that is it for this episode of Wicked Anime.
Yay!
We were talking about Anime Expo and all this cool stuff, and we had some really sweet guests. Now, before we go off on the Wicked Anime advertisement spiel, let's start with Caitlin, because she is one of our guests. Caitlin, where can they find your work and as well as Manga Gamer's work?
just
advertise yourself.
Go to mangagamer.com and you can find all my awesome goodies that I work on for them, and go to Crunchyroll and support them because I work for them too. And there you go. I'm really bad at this.
You're
go to Manga Gamer for the ladies with the goodies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're an artist too. Where can they find your art?
Oh my gosh, I can't even remember my username.
I haven't
checked it in a while. We'll deal with that later.
You're Neon Suzu.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. I'm glad somebody remembers it.
Evan, where can they find you?
Okay, let me see if I can shorten it just a little bit, because I know I always like go over like a minute and a half with mine. So let's see. You go to b3crew.com for the Boston Bash Brigade stuff. Go to Electric Sisterhood for all the S stuff, which is where I post all my video game reviews. You can like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade and on Facebook.com/Lanafesh. And you can follow us on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. You can follow me on Twitter at King_Baby_Duck, on Anime Amino at KingBabyDuckESH, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/OmMysteryInc. There we go.
Wow, that deserved a round of applause for that one.
Oh, you should hear the whole one.
Yeah, it's actually kind of mighty.
I don't even know if he breathes when he does it. It's amazing. Yeah. Gerardo, can you be found anywhere on the internet?
You can find me on Tumblr, where I tumble a bunch of Ruby art under Ruby Fan.
Yep, you do run Ruby Fan. And so that brings us to the advertising of Wicked Anime. If you guys would like to join in on our conversation, maybe you were at Anime Expo, maybe we didn't see or know that you were there. Tell us about your Anime Expo adventures. Tell us about anything you want about any other convention that we might see you at or go to. You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can chat with us there, send us a personal message, and read any news stories from around the internet that we might think are funny. Hey, you can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime if you're not already listening to the podcast there. Because you can also listen to the podcast at SoundCloud/WickedAnime, iTunes, and Stitcher, and Google Play, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Really.
Audio Boom.
Yeah. You can also find the videos at nerdyshow.com, but the most important place to find our videos is YouTube.com/WickedAnimeReviews, our main hub of Wicked Anime, where we post all the video content. Some sweet stuff on the way, maybe. In production for a long time.
Forever.
Forever. Hey, you can also find us at social media places such as Twitter. You can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime. You can also find us at Tumblr at wickedanime.tumblr.com, where we tumble things all the time. You can also find us at twitch.tv.com/wickedanaplay. Wicked Anaplay, because we play video games and they're fun. We play Overwatch with our fans. We play Senran Kagura. And when Street Fighter gets Jury, I'll be playing Street Fighter all the time because I can't wait for Jury to come out. So Street Fighter and Tekken, I guess, is coming out next year now. They bumped it a whole nother year. So, but we'll still be playing it.
PlayStation 5.
Yes. That's what we have for you guys on this episode of Wicked Anime. So we will have you listen to us on the next episode.
Be there!
And we'll sign off the only way we know how.
K-pop!
Did you guys also hear the story about the kid who found a dead body?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a kid who was playing Pokemon Go, and as he was going around, he stumbled across a dead body.
Thanks, Pokemon Go.
The end.
Was there like a hunter?
Oh wow.
Oh man.
Welcome to the show, Caitlin.
It was a Gengar.
Boo.
Now, did he call the cops before or after he caught the Pokemon? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Hey, hold on, I just gotta catch this one Pokemon and okay, close app. 911, hello.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.